Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is the fabulous Adam Richard,
and I have a theory.
Hey, chickens, welcome back. So we have been making our way through Matt's missive, which we've gotten to the end of Series 6, which has, you know, caused me all sorts of issues, mainly because I hadn't gone back and watched a lot of the episodes, because I had fury. I had online fan fury, which has mellowed because it's been 11 years, 12 years. Oh, it's been a while. 13 years? It's been a long time. Over a decade. Anyway, before I get back into Matt's missive and head on into Series 7, James posted on Adam Richard Has a Theory on Facebook, which if you're not a member, it's easy. Just like answer some really dumb questions. they're very easy questions. Anyway, James says, it's been fascinating listening to your musings on Season 6 this week. And it's made me think, I've done the Patreon binge, so forgive me for getting ahead of regular broadcast here. It's okay, James. Like, I'm like 2 weeks behind now. it's made me think. I like your observations about how Mr. Moffat perhaps lets his ideas get in the way of story, and in particular how so many opportunities for a more emotionally true telling of the Melody Pond story were left swinging in the breeze. Old Amy could have wielded that one as effectively as her awesome sword in The Girl Who Waited. I know. You just go, here's a whole thing that has happened that you could have been, you know, emotionally scarred by. Like, that's a whole storyline. But, you know, perhaps that's something to do with the fact that that was not one that he wrote. And he did not furnish the writer with the information of what had been happening, the big emotional beats of the preceding stories. Which, you know, I think if, you know, if Mark Gatiss had known what was going on with River Song and the baby before Night Terrors, like, do you think maybe there would have been some kind of, just some sort of, you know, mention of adopting a baby, or like, you know, it's, you know, some kind of mention of, see, you know, River Song's grown up okay, this kid with these parents will be okay. Like, it's, I don't know, it's problematic in the extreme. But James goes on to say, I love watching Stephen Moffat stories. It's ironic that Russell T. Davis is bringing fantasy into the show because so much of the Moff's work was spinning fairy tales. But Moffat was also clearly at least as smug as Ten and Rose were. It's even more evident in Sherlock, which I always struggle to watch as Moffat is so often using it to say, look how clever I am. I mean, he does write that with Mark Gatiss, and I wonder how much of that writing is them kind of one-upping each other, because that does happen sometimes when you collaborate with people. If it's a combative collaboration, it can, you know, sometimes turn into, oh, look what I've done with this script. or it's, you know, they're just really tickled by each other's ideas and they just kind of cascade into each other. James says, it is interesting to ponder the different ways that the three showrunners have used Doctor Who. Russell T. Davis, I don't think, is very interested in the show's lore, seeing rather the concept as a great way of making emotionally engaging telly. He brought Whostory in when it suited him. Oh, Whostory instead of history, funny. But he was never afraid of retooling it to his own ends. Macra. I mean, Macra also, Moffat is not afraid of doing that. Like the, you know, oh, they're related to the Nymon. It's like, yeah, we once did do kind of the Minotaur at the middle of the maze. So let's just vaguely address that. It's cute though. Moffat loves the romance of the show. His stories are a fantastic waltz across time and space, as shown most grandly with River's glorious storyline and in vignette form in Blink and The Girl in the Fireplace. Oh, I see what you're saying. So it's like, yeah, is he in love with the romance of the show, or does he really, really loved the time traveler's wife and just wanted to rewrite it 7 times? James says, looking at some of his other work, Coupling and Sherlock, I do think that he is fundamentally a romantic, and that sits in his series alongside his compulsion to use them as a canvas for his amazing ideas. To hell with the audience. They'll love it or they can pee off. I love it, but feel guilty about it. Oh, that's interesting, James, that you love that attitude, but then you feel bad about it. It's weird. And then James says, finally, I suspect that Chris Chibnall is the one who is most interested in Doctor Who as a fan. He makes the most old school historical scene for decades. He likes a jolly space adventure and then looks at the mythos in ways that challenge and expand the lore far more than what the others did. Russell T. Davis destroyed Gallifrey to get it out of the way. Moffat brought it back and basically pounded on a big red reset button. But Chibnall, with The Fugitive and Fugitive Doctor and The Timeless Child, added to the show's history in stories that sit alongside The Time Meddler, The War Games, and the insert number here, Doctors. I like the 5 and the 3 Doctors, funny. The 2 Doctors, not so much. The Brain of Morbius and The Deadly Assassin. He took Doctor Who's story forward, and his interventions change our understanding of the Doctor's story more than Russell T. Davis and Moffat combined. I'm looking forward to seeing what Russell T. Davis does with those new threads. It's clear that he's picking them up this time, and the way that he has done so is a nice demonstration of how he's a better writer than Chibnall, newsflash. I mean, I think they're just very different writers. Like, it's, you know, better is kind of subjective. You know, like, I would argue that, you know, that Chibnall's stories are effective on a week-to-week basis. If you've never watched the show, you can watch it and go, oh, this is fun, and you'll enjoy it. But if you've happened to see, you know, 60 years worth of writing, you can probably look at Chibnall's and go, oh, it's not as good as that one and that one and that one. But look, I've got to say, it's better than Underworld. There were some ropey old stories back in the old days. Anyway, James has a conclusion. He's like, Russell T. Davis is a Gryffindor, Moffat is a Slytherin, and Chibnall's a Ravenclaw. We need them all. And Kendall replies, next up, a Hufflepuff non-male showrunner, please. Look, this is what I've been saying. I want Sally Wainwright to take over Doctor Who. It will be the best. I know you all think I'm crazy. But seriously, like, Sally Wainwright can write fun. Like, you know, it's not all depressing, Happy Valley. Happy Valley's got funny moments. So does, Like, Gentleman Jack is fun, has fun moments. Like, Last Tango in Halifax is really funny at points. So I think, and look, Sally Wainwright went on a tour of the Doctor Who set invited by Russell T. Davis, which was in that, there was a profile show on Russell T. Davis on the BBC. So yeah, like she's obviously vaguely interested in the world. I'm telling you now, like if Sally Wainwright took over writing and the Doctor was Brenda Blethyn, but still dressed as Vera, that would be my dream. I don't know how Disney Plus would feel about it, but I would love it. It would be amazing. But yes, thank you, James. That is an interesting kind of pricey of the various showrunners' eras as they have gone on so far. I think there is something in that. Like, it is interesting that, you know, we got so used to Russell T. Davis being really invested in the emotional beats of what happens. And Moffat still has those emotional beats, but sometimes it feels like you go, why aren't you upset about this? Why are you upset about that over there? And you don't care about this thing that happened before. We're going to head on into Series 7 in the next episode.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.